What futile task are you working at there?
Oh, I'm trying to get this antenna fixed so I can hear the rest of the radio play I'm listening to.
What's the name of the play?
I forget, but it should be on the tag on this antenna that came with it. Oh, it's been torn off. I don't remember.
Can you describe it?
It was about a witch and another character, maybe a magician, and they live in a library or something, and they want desperately to leave, even though chances are they can't exist outside of the library. But so strong is their thirst for freedom that they try anyway.
This sounds like a familiar theme.
I suppose it is.
And it's no coincidence that we are in this bookmobile.
Probably not.
I want you to see this, though. I found this book, and it has pictures of my grandmother's priest, Father Saxophone.
Interesting name.
He was an interesting guy. You can see there are many illustrations and designs in this book.
He was a real person?
Again, I refer you to the book. If he were not, would there be a book about him?
The last thing I remember is the magician trying to convince the witch that the impossible task of living outside the library was not impossible at all, and they had made it to the street, and he was trying to steal a bus or something.
A bookmobile, maybe.
Look, there's a new librarian coming. He's no Father Saxophone. He looks like a monk, though.
Does he work here, or is he insane? He seems to be mumbling gibberish.
How long has that old man in the corner been there reading that book?
The whole time, I think.
Should we be worried?
I think he's no threat as long as he keeps reading.
I'm going to go talk to the new librarian. He seems strange.
Good luck.
Excuse me. I'm interested in a book about Father Saxophone, or rather a radio play I heard but don't remember the name of. I'm sorry. His name is Brother John. He's new here, so bear with him. Oh, thank you. No problem.
Did you talk to the librarian?
Yes, but I think he's differently abled.
Oh, that's good.
He seems nice.
Now he's walking this way in his underwear.
Why is he in his underwear, and why is he standing on that little stage?
Maybe he's going to perform.
Brother John, that was very nice. Your voice has the same quality as Elvis's. I mean, you don't sing quite as well. Who can? But your voice is very similar. Very well done. Thank you for sharing that with us.
He really does sound like Elvis. Having any luck with that antenna?
No, I'm afraid the show will be over by the time I get it tuned in again. If I could just remember one thing about it, then I could look the rest up.
The name of it should be on the antenna.
I know, but I told you the tag came off.
So how will it even work? Looks like the black clip at the bottom came off, too.
The last thing I remember is that the magician was wearing a top hat and jumping onto the bus with glee, having decided it was their means to freedom. He crawled through the driver's side window and onto the windshield and then back again through the door, and I remember thinking that they must have used a stuntman for that since I recognized the actor and thought it was much too dangerous for him to do.
It seems sad that the two of them might be doomed, that they can't get away from the place they live because it may be the whole reason they're alive.
I'm beginning to doubt I ever even heard it.
You mean, you think you were thinking about us?
I'm not sure. Or that I dreamt it.
You mean dreamed?
Do I?
I know the feeling of not knowing whether a memory is real or not. I mean, I think I do, don't I?
I realize now there probably wasn't a radio play like that because I'm pretty sure the antenna isn't specific. I mean, every individual play or show doesn't have its own antenna, does it?
These are the times when I wish Father Saxophone was still alive so we could ask him, even though I never knew him. But I feel like I did, since my grandmother talked about him so much. Didn't she?
The book was the first time I'd ever heard of him.
Yeah, me too, I think. Let's get out of here and have breakfast. That'll make us feel more normal.
Good coffee.
Pass the crunchin' monk, please.
It's pronounced munch.
I don't know, I've only ever seen it in writing.
So anyway, Butchie, does that sound familiar? Have you ever heard of a radio play like that?
No, but I can tell you the plot and what happens. The witch and the magician have powers within a small world, the library, and they long to know whether they have any purpose outside of that, so they try to break free, but it's impossible, so you woke up.
So you're saying it was a dream.
And then you woke up.
And then I woke up. That's a very tired cliche.
Did you ever think that maybe something is a cliche or common because it's true? and that people, in their never-ending quest to convince themselves they are individuals, ignore certain truths because they are common and true?
They say flying dreams are really sleep apnea.
So I made this whole thing up, but it feels like an incomplete memory.
The whole world is an incomplete memory. Consider when you time travel. Let's say I send you to 1982, and I tell everyone you're a time traveler from the future, and so they ask, hey, what happens in 1983?
Ooh, I can look that up.
Without looking anything up.
I'd have to really think. Let's see.
My point is, you barely remember, but you lived that whole year.
Memories fade, Butchie.
Do they? Or are we constantly waking up from a dream state, a shattered, fragmented reality that isn't consistent but has huge gaps in it, and we are haunted by the feeling that we just forgot some of the pieces?
There are millions of stories and movies like that.
Yeah, why? If I were a tiny creature or God or an alien, and I was trying to send you a message, I might repeat it over and over and over again so that in your head you heard over and over again, help me, or you're just dreaming.
So we just keep waking up from one incomplete, fragmented place into another over and over again.
Yeah, and because that seems so unsatisfying and futile and empty, we reject it and try to fill in the spaces and tell ourselves we're just forgetting or we only heard part of the story. There is no story.
In school one time, we watched a slideshow, and the slides were all mixed up and from different presentations, but the teacher was convinced they must be correct, so we made up some story to explain them. And it made sense. It was about how math informs the ancient Greek food and nutrition system.
There must be more to it.
With that attitude, no answer will ever satisfy you, which is good, but also proves my point.
All I know is that caramel corn makes a great cereal. I mean, that's not all I know.
Yeah, you should list that on your resume as special knowledge.
Well, I'll consider what you said, Butchie. But if I did that on the radio, people would think what tired old cliches I have.
Then come up with answers that can't possibly be true. Then you'll be equally wrong, but you'll be thought original.
I remember the first time I found out I wasn't the only person named Lewis.
Do you really?
No, but I must have, right? No kid is born thinking he shares a name with thousands of others. He thinks that name just means him. In school, I went from being Lewis to Lewis R. to distinguish me from Lewis M.
I was the only Baruch.
Yeah, I was the only Hardy.
Must be nice.
Excuse me, I have to take this call. Hello?
Row, row, row your boat.
Gently down the stream.
Merrily, 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 merrily.
Yeah, what's up?
Did they ask about the play?
Yeah.
And?
And what?
What did you tell them?
Well, we agreed.
Did they believe you?
No.
Good. How are you getting along? You ready to come back yet?
No. I don't want to. Not yet.
Well, at some point you have to. It's not real.
What is?
Good point, but this is realer.
Maybe. But if you were in the fifth grade and had a chance to go back to third grade, knowing what you do now, and be the smartest kid in the class, wouldn't you?
Okay, but keep your head.
I always keep my head.
Remember why we're doing this. This is caretaking, plain and simple. Don't think you have to solve anything. Just keep them from suffering too much.
What's too much?
I honestly don't know.
I have no idea what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, or whether or not it's working.
That sounds perfect. Now take care of yourself, and I'll check back soon.
Who are you talking to?
Oh, no one.
You can't fool me. It's coming up on my birthday. I bet it has something to do with that. Maybe it was the bowling alley manager. If you could rent out the whole bowling alley and get my favorite band to come play, that would be great.
Who's your favorite band?
Gotcha! You're renting the bowling alley for a private rock and roll concert for my birthday.
No, I'm just curious.
Shoot. Doesn't matter anyway, because I don't have a favorite band. Maybe the Bo Brummelstones or the Wayouts.
I'm not super into bug music. Hey, Butch, what are you talking about?
How I probably was never born because I don't have a favorite band.
Listen, you guys, I've decided to write a play and I want your advice.
My advice is don't.
I'm with Butchie. Too many plays. And when no one is willing to perform it, you'll make us do it.
At least with radio plays, we don't have to memorize your inane dialogue. We can just read it off the scriot.
That should be script.
You fat-fingered the P.
There's no such thing as a scriot. You should have just said script.
Then what if it had been a joke about misreading the script? Then it would have changed the meaning.
Oh, you think too much.
Indeed.
What's your play, Hardy?
Thanks for asking, Lou.
I love it when I get thanked for being nosy.
It's about a library.
Not a hotel, huh?
No, a library. And in the library lives a witch.
This is a kid's play.
No, not really.
A witch who lives in the library sounds like a kid's story. Is there a tiny mouse she befriends?
Or does she rip the guts out of innocent library patrons? That's how you can tell the difference.
Well, neither. She just wants to leave the library.
Oh, one of these plays where nothing happens.
Something happens.
He means nothing interesting or clever.
Look, do you want to hear my idea or not?
Not anymore.
Go ahead, Hardy. I'll listen in case in the future I want to tell you about my long, weird dream.
So, there's a witch who lives in the library with a magician, and they decide to escape.
I'm still listening, but I need to leave the house and go do laundry, so keep talking.
But we have a washing machine.
I think I'll go do mine far, far away, though, for a change. Which reminds me, you got any quarters?
No, sorry.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I'll just pry some out of Lou's state quarter map.
Is that where they're going? Don't do that. That took me 10 years to complete.
But you completed it. Now we can use the $12.50 you're hoarding.
Well, you can take Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut, but leave the rest.
How am I supposed to dry my clothes?
Okay, you can take 2 western states.
Thanks.
Okay, Hardy, you can finish your story now. But I'm going to excuse myself for a minute. I need to see a man about a horse, because he knows where the bathroom is, and I super gotta go.
Okay, whatever.
It's only human.
I'll just tell my story to my radio friends.
Is that what you call it when you talk to yourself?
Just go. Hello? Gently down the stream. Right. Okay, what's up? Well, just try and figure out everything he does remember. The story we refer to may be the key to some things we have been wondering about. Okay. Shemp Jive.
Shemp Jive!
Who was that?
It was a none of your business call.
Fair enough. Hey, I'm doing the puzzle. What's a 4-letter word for a single, distinct, meaningful element of speech or writing?
Word.
All right, I could pretend I'm confused by your answer, but you mean W-O-R-D is the answer to my query. Thanks. You know, I once looked up thought, and it said an idea. And so I looked up idea, and it said thought.
Yeah, they don't know.
I know. I have these things all the time, but it isn't clear what they are.
We have philosophers and scientists working on it now. But by the time they figure it out, we'll all have been murdered by robots, so there's no point.
Morning, Hardy.
Morning, Lou. Butchie.
Morning. You like Eggs Benedict?
Yeah, you cooking?
No.
Then why did you ask?
I asked you yesterday if you liked Samuel Beckett. It doesn't mean I'm making you Samuel Beckett.
All right, well, where's the coffee?
Here, you can have mine. It's cold.
No thanks, I'll get my own.
Hey, while you're up, I'll take a warm-up.
What a weird night last night.
You gonna tell us your long, weird dream?
Nah, don't worry. I won't bore you with my dream. I know you hate that and think it's narcissistic to tell people your dreams.
No, I really want to hear it.
Really?
I know I do. I like to secretly psychoanalyze you and judge you. Again, secretly.
Well, Lou and I were in a bookmobile discussing a radio play that I half remembered.
Right, and there was a crazy librarian who babbled and sang like Elvis.
Lou, how did you know that?
I just guessed.
That's impossible.
Then maybe you already told me one time and forgot.
I just had the dream last night.
Maybe you had it the night before, too, and told me about it. Or maybe it happened when we were in the bookmobile earlier and saw that weird librarian.
Did you have the same dream?
I don't think so.
This is all very interesting. Not. You guys have the most banal dreams. Mine are like spy movies. Mine have car chases and murders and I fly.
They say flying dreams are caused by sleep apnea.
I heard that somewhere.
Anyway, it was bothering me that I couldn't remember the radio play and what it was about. But I don't think I ever listened to it. I think the only memory was of not being able to remember.
Lost me. Anyway, all of life is a dream.
Yeah, I've heard that said. Doesn't seem right.
Why? Because it's such a common idea?
It's a bit of a cliché.
Ever think that maybe clichés are so common because they're true? If you see the same sign everywhere, maybe someone's trying to tell you something. What's one of the first songs you ever learned?
Whisper in the Night by ELO.
No, I mean as a kid.
Oh, Twinkle Twinkle?
Row Your Boat?
Row Your Boat, exactly. Life is but a dream, it says, and it's around.
It's still around.
I mean, you sing it in such a way that it never ends. It's a dream that you keep waking up from.
Again, Butchie, this is like O. Henry or Inception or something. Literally, it's an idea that has been done to death, and it's not very sophisticated.
Sometimes the truth is just unsatisfying and pointless, so it's rejected. Like if you found out that the murder mystery you've been reading for 500 pages is just a big misunderstanding, that may be the truth, but you'd hate the book and reject it. Non-answers are discriminated against. Nobody really wants the truth. They want a system.
What do you mean?
When someone comes to your door offering their religion, their version of the truth, what do people say a lot of times? They say, "No, thank you. I already have a religion." Because truth isn't the point. It's just finding some answers that people you live with agree on. Life is not a story. The universe is not a story. It has no point of consistency. But we insist it must and clamor for resolutions to things that just multiply into infinity.
I think you've been smoking something.
Why is it people always respond to creativity by insisting the creative person is high or crazy?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I just feel threatened by your ideas. No offense.
Point taken, Butchie. Certainly there are no easy answers.
Or answers. So what is your show about this week?
Well, I was hoping to integrate this story that I can't remember. The witch in the library.
You should have the witch say, "I want to leave this place and go somewhere else." And then the magician says, "What? Why, witch? Where?" Get it?
Lou, I never mentioned the magician.
Oh, sorry.
How is it that you know about my dream already?
Consider it wasn't a dream. Or maybe you talk in your sleep.
My brother used to sleep pee.
You mean wet the bed?
No, he'd get up, mumble something incoherent, and then pee in the corner of the room or the trash can or into a drawer.
Oh, that's awful.
Always funny if it was his drawer. Not so much if it was mine.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we sleep perchance to dream.
That's not the quote.
You don't know what I'm quoting. It's from an underground comic called Marmalette.
So you can't really remember the radio play you heard?
Not really, Butchie. All I remember is the feeling of not remembering. I know I forgot something, but I retained the feeling it gave me.
I get that. Like I think, how did my pants get wet? Or why am I wearing fake ears?
So your memory is just a vague memory of a memory, but you're convinced there's something of substance at the bottom of it.
There's such a thing as the bottomless pit.
No, there's not.
Yeah, I saw it. You throw a rock in it and you never hear it hit the bottom.
That doesn't mean there's no bottom. It just means you can't hear it hit.
So, how do I prove there's a bottom? I can't go in it. I'd fall and die.
Everything has a bottom.
You have simply extrapolated from that book, Everyone Poops. Ergo, everything has a bottom. Not so. Some creatures emit waste in other ways.
I mean, all holes in the ground have a bottom. Even if it was a hole that went all the way through the other side of the earth, it would still fall towards the center and not up the other side.
Unless there was sufficient momentum.
Look, this is a crazy discussion.
The pit was bottomless as far as Lou was concerned, and he lived his life as if it were, and the fact that it wasn't didn't make a difference.
So you're saying some lies don't matter?
I don't know, man. Just some truth is irrelevant. If the universe is pointless, it doesn't change the fact I need a sandwich.
Oh, you're making me hungry now.
Let's all go grab a bite at the diner.
I'm up for that. I know where there's $12.50 and change.
Hiya, Butcher. Who are your friends?
Well, they aren't really my friends. This is Lou, and this is Hardy.
Hiya, fellas.
Guys, this is Lucille.
Hi, Lucille.
Hi, Lucille.
What can I get you, boys?
I'll have the orange juice and the chef's plate.
I'll have the library salad and a side of naan.
Plain or garlic?
Plain.
I'll have the whole uncut fruit of the day and the mustard sampler.
You got it.
And coffee all around. Oh, that mustard sampler is good. You ought to try the ketchup flight next time.
I will.
Listen, I just got the weirdest text.
What does it say?
It says, "Row, row, row your boat."
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't even have a boat.
Maybe it's the wrong number.
I guess. Should I text back and say, like, "Old phone, who am I?"
No, just ignore it. It's probably a wrong number.
Yeah, they're probably trying to reach the library.
What library?
The lending one, where you borrow books.
Isn't that all libraries?
Yes, but library can mean different things, like the room in Clue. Sometimes it's a reading room.
I walked into a Christian Science reading room one time and asked to have my fortune told. I thought it was like Madame Rose's reading room. She could take one look at your hand and be like, "You've been eating chocolate." So, you like libraries, Butchie?
Yes. I often go to them in order to remove certain books.
Certain books, eh? Like which ones?
Yes, which ones?
I see.
This is the first intellectual discussion I've heard you guys have.
I've never been very intellectual. I'm not against it. I just haven't had access to a quality education. But my family always valued being smart. I hate when people disparage intellect. Like, I just said disparage intellect and not hate smart people because I'm pro-education, even though mine isn't so hot.
So, Butchie, what's the last book you read?
You mean, which book was the last one?
Yes, I see.
Answer him, Butchie.
Oh, a book on magic and dreams. What about you?
I read a book called Are You Sleeping, Brother John? A History of Rounds.
I'm trying to think of a joke, by the way.
Very interesting.
Hey, Hardy.
Yeah, Lou?
Did you ever get around to it?
Around to what?
Around to it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, here.
What?
I think I'm messing up the joke because I don't have that little wooden coin Uncle Edwin gave to me that says to it on it. It's around to it. I give it to you, and then you got around to it. It helped him to sell insurance, because when it comes to life insurance, some people just don't get around to it. Speaking of which, how's your coverage, Hardy?
I don't need life insurance.
Many people say that, but I ask you this, and then I would ask you something that convinces you.
All right.
All right, then. Let me go out and get the forms out of my truck. I'll be right back.
All right, we'll be here.
Hardy? Which Hardy are you?
I've already met Brother John.
Me too. I wasn't sure. Who sent Lou that text, though? You?
No, I thought you sent it.
Nope. Shoot. This is one of the few moments we've been in the same room, and possibly one of the few for a time to come.
I'm worried about things, Butchie. This, things transpiring now. It's all messed up. None of this is right.
I know. We have a few versions all mixed together. Something huge is missing. Is it an individual?
I don't know. Could be the magician.
That's not even possible. If the magician is missing, there is no world.
When you managed to fix the situation with the Welshman, was there anything strange?
No. I knew where to find you because the clerk left clues.
Why? Why would she want me found?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense, does it? We're driving blind at this point. I called Pittsburgh, and even they have no idea. But they suggested that maybe there's a new player on the scene. Someone who's manipulating things.
Not the Welshman.
No, not the Welshman, not the magician, not the witch even.
How many rooms have locked doors now?
2,147,483,647.
Oh, Lord, that's not a prime number, is it?
Not just any prime. It's that number. The eighth one.
Damn, why are we still here?
Exactly, I'm not sure that we are.
Okay, well, look, Lou will be back any minute. We might not see this version of each other for a while, so good luck.
You too.
Now, where is my truck?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, Don, what are you doing here?
I was, just in the neighborhood.
Oh, man, remember when you were a house?
I do. I still am.
Well, you had some remodeling done, I guess, because you look like the old Don.
Listen, I have a favor to ask you.
Sure, man.
I need to kidnap you and take you to another world.
Well, I'm right in the middle of brunch here with Hardy and Butchie, so it's something maybe we can hook up and do another time?
I really need to do it now. I'm working a new job, and this is really my first big assignment. Kidnap you and lay a trap for Butchie and Hardy.
Again, I would love to do that and help you out. But this is a busy time. Also, work has been slammed, and this seems like it might take a while.
All right, well, at least can you hold this slip of paper?
Sure.
Here, take this and put it in your pocket.
Now that I can do.
All right, well, good to see you, Lou, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry I couldn't help you out. More later, man. Man, I forgot why I came out here. I better get back to see if the food's here.
Where's Lou? He's taken a long time. He's been gone like 30 minutes.
Something's wrong. I'll go check on him.
I'll go with you in case there's trouble.
Hey, where did they go? This is the table. I was only gone like a minute. Excuse me, Lucille?
Yeah, buddy?
I don't see Butchie and Hardy.
Butchie? Spinoza?
Yeah.
He hasn't been in weeks.
But they were just here.
Believe me, I would have remembered.
Well, I'll be.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. I close my eyes, then I drift away into the magic night. I softly say a silent prayer like dreamers do. Then I fall asleep to dream my dreams of you.
Hello, my friends. It has always been my dream to be on the radio. And so one time in the 90s, a friend of a friend who was a radio consultant said to me, I may have some work for you. I was so excited. I said, what is it? He said, well, there's a radio station that's looking for some imaging. I said, I can do that. I had no idea what that was, but I always say yes to a job. If someone says, can you do that? I say, yes, even if I don't know what it is. We need somebody to remember that. Okay. Because I figure I'll either, you know, fake it or I'll learn how to do it on the fly or something. So I said, yes, I can do this. And he said, well, this is what it is. We need you. They've got a theme like radio stations have. They want to appeal to a certain demographic. So let's say that demographic is men ages 20 to 80. I don't know. I'm just making that up. It's much narrower than that. It's like women ages 35 to 36. All right. So that's who the radio station wants to appeal to. And they've got a theme for this campaign. I said, now, what is it? And they said, the theme is daydreaming. And I was like, daydreaming. All right. Dreams. I've always been fascinated with dreams. I think that's always been something that's captivating to me and has made me like different art movements like surrealism and everything that incorporate dreams into art. Because I think, well, they're so mysterious and yet they're such this integral part of life and we don't understand anything about it. And I thought, this is perfect. I'm a dream expert. So daydreaming. So I got in touch with the person out west at this radio station, the station manager, and he said, yeah, this is what we want to do. Can you set us up? It's going to be little bits or just like little ads. They're 30 seconds, 40 seconds. They're much now like what they have, video interstitials that identify the station. So we're super hip. Look, there's a skull on fire. That's really what we're appealing to. If you like that, you're going to like our station. So I said, all right, so I'll go home and write some. So I was thinking, daydreaming now. It seems to me my dreams are very weird. Like everybody understands this, right? When we say dreams, sometimes we mean wishes, wish fulfillment. Like I'm at the French Riviera. But we know that the reality of dreams is I'm at the French Riviera and the lower half of my body is a shopping cart and Nixon is jumping in my ear and out my nose or something. And so they're absurd. So I thought, well, I will try to capture that spirit. And I took daydreaming to mean that during the day you're having these bizarre, nightmarish hallucinations. And so I wrote some little skits and everything and recorded them. And sent them out there, and they said, well, we like them, but we want something a little higher quality. We don't necessarily like all the voices you're doing, so we're going to get some actors to recreate them. So now keep in mind that this is one step removed from what I thought was funny. And there's nothing like people to sort of take all the funny out of something. So not only was what I did inappropriate, but then there was another level of tone deafness added to it. So that it was horrifyingly wrong for what they wanted. I realize now when they meant daydreaming, it's like what they meant is like, imagine I'm with Jimmy Buffett and we're sailing on the water and we're eating a hamburger and we're listening to pan drums, you know, like steel drums. Ding, 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 that kind of daydreaming. Oh, whoops. And so I didn't hear anything for a long time. So I called the station and they said, oh, yes, oh, that. Well, the guy who hired you has been fired for incompetence, and we're now putting a big black dot on your name in the file. So I was sort of blackballed from, that's why I'm not on commercial radio. I don't understand it or know how to do it. So years went by. I did nothing. I thought, well, that's over, I guess. I'm not going to be on radio. And yet here I am, living the dream, like they say. Oh, dreams are so common that in art it's a cliché. You know, no one wants to hear about that. They say, oh, we've got more about that. We're so tired of hearing about it. Nobody knows what they are. And yet, a lot of times we have them during the night. Sometimes they're nightmares. They find their way into fiction, into poetry, into songs, dreams. We talk about it all the time, but we don't even know what they are. Oh, isn't that funny? I just read the other day online something that I've been talking about for many years, and that is people being mad at you for stuff that you did in their dreams. And I had a friend one time, I did that. I went into she was tending bar, and I went in and I said, how you doing? And she goes, I am so mad at you right now. And I said, what? And she says, well, the things that you said to me in my dream. I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, I don't know that that was me. Could have been. I don't know. What did I say? And I'll tell you whether it was accurate or not. And so these things affect us. We wake up and we're emotionally invested in this scenario that was just happening. It feels real. If it's terror, we're terrified, right? I've had these dreams. There's a ghost, like I told you a couple months ago, that little tiny elf on a shelf that was there and then not there, and it was grimacing at me or something. And I called for my mother, which is weird. Like she's going to... Like my mother is some kind of demon fighter. I don't know why she would be helpful, but they affect us, you know. So, oh, I had some bad dreams last night, or I had some good dreams. Oh, your good dreams. I think you know what. No, I don't. I think you do. I don't know. I've dreamt. The worst is when you dreamt you're using the bathroom and you wake up and you go, oh boy, I hope that I really wasn't. Oh good, I still have to go. I was just anticipating it. No wonder. That happens to me a lot in my dreams. I'm using the bathroom. I think, wow, I hope that's just because I'm having the feeling and I'm not actually doing it. And I don't know that I've ever fallen asleep on the toilet and then dreamt I was actually in bed. I wonder if the reverse can happen. But it sure happens the other way. Eating. I dreamt I was eating. I was like, why am I not satisfied? Maybe when we're awake... When we're not satisfied, it's because we're just dreaming that thing that we want to do. Oh, Hardy, you're putting all these ideas in my head that were actually put there originally when I was smoking weed in my dorm or something. Yes, I know. It's all very tired and trite. But like Butchie says, maybe something's tired and trite because it's true. You know, we get bored of the truth, really, and we start to look for something else. But gosh, maybe things aren't really... I guess they're really happening, but... They're happening in such a vague way. I don't remember things. I don't remember shows I did a year ago. People say, Hardy, remember that show when you did this? Like, yeah. No, I don't really. I retain the vague feeling. And maybe I've navigated my whole life just feeling things vaguely. And I think that's because I'm open-minded. I think that if I decided what I already believe, a lot of people do this and their life is very convenient. They decide what they believe, and then if information comes in that confirms that, that's called true. If information comes in that contradicts that, that's called false. So you a priori decide what you believe, and then it's easy to discern what's true and false. Now, if you go into the world thinking, oh, I'm just going to judge things as they come along. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes you don't even know what's true or false. You say, that's just opening up more questions. How can someone live with all these questions? Scientists do that. That's why they're freaks. People think that science, people have prejudices, and sometimes they do. But a lot of times, you know, the whole thing with science, I know a lot of scientists. So when people have misconceptions about them, it bothers me. You know, like any bigotry. When you know the people, you think, well, gee, that isn't how it works. I know a lot of these people, and it's not how it works. They're not on the take for corporations and something like that, a lot of them. Most of them aren't. And, you know, they are, it's a profession where people are constantly trying to contradict you. And you have to prove things. And there's people out there trying to pick it apart. And they're smart. I know that we don't use that word anymore. Hey, I'm smart if I say I am. Oh, wonderful. There is no objective intelligence anymore. That's okay. But when there used to be, and the more you were able to reason and discover things and come up with some truths that can be recreated and can be used to do things, that was some objective indication that you were capable or intelligent or something. Now, who knows? Maybe it's just luck, right? But so I know a lot of how scientists and how it works, and they're often left with questions. You know, they'll be working on something and it'll just generate more questions. Like, I'm sure my show does that. Like, what is it about? I don't know. I listen to it. I just have more questions. Why is he on the air? Who is this person? I don't know. You find out, you tell me. And then it might change. Oh, by the time you figure something out, sometimes it's changed. Go to a restaurant. What does that restaurant have? Oh, that one has pancakes. And then the next time you go there, well, now it's a barbecue place. I thought I knew. Oh, but you know, it's like one of them says, one of the pre-Socratic Greek philosophers said, hey, you don't know. I think one of them said that. Was it Heraclitus? I think said, you can't step twice in the same river. But I mean, you can, but then you can't. And he goes, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, you know, it's not the same. It's moving and it's not the change, etc. We just have fragments, a lot of them. That's a problem. Epicurus. So what did Epicurus said? He said just little words and then they're all cut up. So we don't know. I guess we do know. We don't know. We know, but we don't know. Who knows? They could be planted there by aliens. If your mind gets too open like that, it falls apart. But you just actually latch on to different prejudices. You change one set for another. And they say, I'm convinced there are aliens and nothing is going to change my mind. Unless you agree with me. And then I'll say, yes, that's definitely true. It's funny that way. We don't want to be left confused. Nobody wants to think that they don't know. I hear friends all the time say, oh, I'm middle-aged. When am I going to understand it all? When am I going to get a clue? When I feel like my parents knew what was going on. Why don't I? Well, I hate to break this to you, but usually there is no knowing. And if you decide that you do know, you've just sort of settled on something, and you're probably lying to yourself. There is it's unknowable almost. You're always going to feel like you don't know what's going on. That's fine. That you're just a perfectly capable human being. That's part of it. Don't be fooled. You know, there's no knowing. Every animal on the every creature in the world knows that. I don't know what's going on here. I don't either. We're just swinging from trees. Sometimes if I find little bugs to eat, I know. Is there nothing more to it? Who knows? You know, there was some monkey once broke through and he went insane. So now we just think about that. We don't even know. Every night we live a different life, some of us. I can't remember my dreams. I know we wake up and sometimes there's so much to do the next day, we can't reflect on what just happened. We can't look back and say, what was that? What just happened? And we weren't sure in the dream that things were diminished. You know, we were filling in the blanks, weren't we? Wherever there was a gap, we'd say, okay, that's a red sweater or something. Even though we might not have seen the color. We fill in the gaps all the time. Do that with your regular memory. I was driving down the road. What was on the side of the road? Buildings? I guess? I don't know. Did you ever drive by an empty lot and you go, a building was just there? I recognize that and it's not now. Well, what was just there? Wait. I saw it every day I went by it. Yeah, what was it? It takes a while to notice. And as we talked about before, it also takes a while to form memories. To form long-term memories, you have to think about something for a little while. It's a finite amount of time. And if you get interrupted in that time, you won't remember. The other day, I was driving down the street with somebody, and we passed a house that was painted entirely black. And I thought that was very strange. I'd never seen anybody paint their house entirely black. And they left some trim around the door and everything that was stained wood. And I thought, well, it looks like an old barn or something. But it was a brick house, and they painted it black. So I thought it was on I remember seeing that. I didn't remark at the time because the conversation was going in a different direction. But I thought, I'm going to go back and see that. So I went down the road that I thought it was on, and it wasn't there. And I thought it must be on another road. And it wasn't there either. And then I thought, maybe I imagined the black house. And so a few weeks went by of me thinking, man, I must have dreamed that or it wasn't true. Turns out, it was on a third road that I never even considered because I don't go down it much. But there it was. I drove by and it was real. The black house. Oh my gosh. I had attributed it to a dream already. And yet, it was real. Oh, my goodness, our memories are so unreliable. Things get in our head and we don't know where they came from. It is no coincidence that during World War II, our propaganda operation was staffed by psychoanalysts and neuroscientists. Yes, that's true. Try to get a book that they wrote, you can't acquire it. Isn't that strange? What do you mean it's out of print? I've tried to look. There was lots of famous psychoanalysts, Freudians and neuroscientists that worked in our government's propaganda program in World War II, and their work is not super accessible. Makes you wonder, doesn't it, that there's something going on? But I think that there is a link between dreams and propaganda. I believe dreams are a type of propaganda, aren't they? Because I had a dream the other night, and it was a dream of trying to remember something because the thing gave me a feeling. So I had the feeling, but I couldn't remember any of the details, and I couldn't remember how I got that feeling, and I just knew that it had gotten into me somehow, but I wasn't aware how. But suddenly, I had this opinion. I didn't know where it came from, and my memories didn't tell me exactly how I got it. I just knew that I suddenly had it, and I was changed because of it. And I would say, I would submit to you, I'm going to submit it, you look it over, examine it, if there's anything missing, come back and I'll try to fill it in. But I'm going to submit to you that we are so awash in propaganda that you don't even know where some of your ideas come from. You start spouting them out, and if you tried to trace them back, it would just kind of evaporate like a dream. I know this got into me. I heard it somewhere. I think I heard this thing. People say that all the time. Yeah, I remember I heard this thing. You ask him to cite it and everything. Cite that, please. Well, here's somebody else who wrote it down and just vaguely remembers hearing it. It's very strange, isn't it? I don't know where things come from and ideas come from. They seem to pop up. And since we figured out how to sort of manipulate people doing that, let the cat out of the bag. I mean, I don't want to get you where it's bad to be paranoid because then makes you start imagining things. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to think that everything that's in your mind is there because of nefarious purposes. But I would like to say that there, you know, you can trace the origin of certain received wisdom to individuals who are trying to promote a certain industry, like bacon and eggs being a good breakfast. That comes from a particular individual who was trying to get people to believe that bacon and eggs were good for you for breakfast. That person was Edward Bernays. He just happened to be Freud's nephew. I've discussed him before, as have other people, tons. But you don't think of where stuff comes in, does it? It just gets in there. It's like it's like your brain's a public restroom. You go, how did anybody has access to it? They can all get in there and they can all change it profoundly, can't they? And I know my brain somebody has scrawled terrible things on the condom machine of my memory. And I'm never going to be able to scrub it off, and I'm never going to be able to unthink it. Even things that we think are noble, you know? I mean, the same individuals responsible for thinking that women have a right to smoke. By gosh, are you saying that women aren't good enough to smoke? And that's how they promoted smoking to women. Put people in a parade with signs that say, liberate women. And I remember even when I was young, there would be ads with like woman suffragette kind of things. It was a particular cigarette company was like, this is a lady's cigarette. And by gosh, we have the right to smoke it. We're equals now. Isn't that interesting? And so we appeal to people's sense of justice. We appeal to people's fear all the time. And so everything seems to have a bit of an agenda, doesn't it? What's your agenda, Hardy? Well, I got one too. I was not going to tell you that this show that I'm doing employs the techniques of dreams in order to propagandize you. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. Well, what do you want? Okay, I'll just be upfront with you. This is what I want. I feel it is my conviction that life is very confusing. It is my conviction that most people don't know what's going on. It is my conviction that pain is real. It is my conviction that suffering is a real thing. It is my conviction that when we treat each other with gentleness and compassion, that this thing, whatever it is we're going through, is eased. It's not as bad, because when I've had conflict, when there's been anger and fights, or when I've been sick, it's no fun. Oh my gosh, pain is real. Now, I don't know what the solution is to it. I don't know that there is one. But I know that if people change their behavior, if they value certain things and not others, that it makes the experience better for me. Yes, for me. I can tell you every minute of the day that my concern is for all of humanity and all living things. And I think it is. I tell myself it is. But I think at the end of the day, all I know about is me. All I can feel is my own feelings. I just have my own nervous system. It is self-contained. I can say when you're in pain, I understand sort of how that feels, but I don't feel it. Not really. But when I do feel pain, I expect others to help me. Do something. I'm in pain. Help me. And you do. Like a baby, you cry out, I'm hungry. Why won't nobody feed me? And we are born needing others to fulfill all of our desires. We can't do it. All we have are dreams. I'm dreaming of milk. But I can't provide my own milk. I guess I could eat off my own finger or something. I could self-cannibalize like a cave cricket. That would be bad. I don't want to do that. You don't have many chances to do that. What are you eating there, cave cricket? My own leg. It's good. I'm thinking of starting a theme restaurant where you come in and you cook and eat your own leg. Well, that's good. Yep, it'll save on hiring people, too. It will. And also, I won't have to get any supplies or anything. You walk in on your dinner. What are you going to call the place? I don't know. Eat your leg. Oh, that's catchy. So, but you did, except for these auto-cannibalistic cave crickets, most of us need someone else to fulfill these dreams, which is funny because dreams are self-contained. They're going on in your head. But I guess to make them real, I'm doing air quotes. Real. I do air every punctuation. And I don't pronounce them because Victor Borge did that. And I want to be original, even though he was probably correct. Who's Victor Borge, old man? Well, back in the day, we had different TV shows than what they have now. And we had different people on them what did different things. Really? Tell me about it. All right. What do you want to know? I don't know. Start with the old comedians that aren't around anymore. Okay. I don't want to go down that road, really. Oh, nostalgia. I only half remember things anyway. Don't you? It's really hard to be accurate about it. I remember that, my mind just blanked. I was trying to remember some names, and they all come at me at once. But I remember one time on The Tonight Show, there was this comedian that Johnny Carson thought was hilarious. And I believe his name was George Carr. And it sounded like George Carlin. So I would usually think, oh, George Carlin's going to be on. And I'd tune in, and it was this guy named George Carr. And I may be misremembering this. And his whole shtick was he couldn't get the microphone stand to work properly. It would go up and down and everything. And Johnny Carson would be over there laughing. I don't know. I'm going to attribute it to alcohol or something. Just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And I thought, oh, this guy's just pretending not to be able to work the mic stand. Oh, it's killing me. But that's the old style comedy. Right there you have. Everything was different back in the day. And sometimes I like to tap into that nostalgia because people my age go, oh, I remember that too. It's like we had a common dream. And what if there were a time where we all had the same dream at night? There's been stories like that. Isn't it funny that everything you imagine has already been a plot of a movie or Star Trek or something? I don't know whether that's discouraging or whether that's some sort of sign. I mean, it's very strange. Every time I thought I've had an original idea, people have said, that's been done. Now, it's at once discouraging and sort of interesting. I go, that's funny. Well, why are we all having the same thought? Is it because our brains all work the same? Are we all having the same dream? I will talk about different dreams, different recurring dreams, and people go, I have that dream where there's a house with a strange room. Or I have that dream where I'm in a hotel. I had it just the other night. I'm on a cruise ship, and I'm looking for my room, and it's very important to me to find my specific room. There's lots to do on the ship, but all I can think about is I need to find my room. What is the room number? Over and over again, I have this same dream. It's got to be some clue, right? And then other people are having it too. Very strange. I've never really had a prophetic dream, a dream that actually tells the future, except for one time. I dreamed that the space shuttle with the teacher on it was going to crash. And I don't remember how vivid the dream was. I just remember waking up having that idea in my head. In fact, I may have seen it. And a couple weeks went by, and then it happened. Now, I knew the space shuttle was going to go up. So if it hadn't crashed and I still had that dream, I mean, it would have been meaningless. So the chance that it was a coincidence is very high. I mean, if I had never heard of a space shuttle, perhaps, and never didn't know there was a teacher on it or something, then maybe it would be a prophetic dream. But if your brain's always just tossing around possibilities and rearranging things and creatively reassembling actual memories or perceptions, then it wasn't very prophetic at all. Something is only prophetic when it coincidentally happens. So I don't think I've ever been able to predict the future or anything, and we can think all sorts of things. And I will talk to people and say, I believe with all of my heart that that is reality, that people can predict the future. All right, is there anything I could say that would dissuade you? No. Now, if you ever get to that point where you believe something and nothing can ever dissuade you, I just beg you, this is the propaganda I'm engaging in. Think for 2 seconds. What if I'm wrong? Will the whole world collapse? Does it mean that I'm not worth anything? What if this thing that I'm absolutely convinced is true is not? What hinges on that? Will everything dissolve? Or is there a world I can live in where I am unsure, where I can say I don't know, where I can have these dreams and be content that they don't necessarily come true? I want us to live together in a beautiful world that may or may not be possible. And possibility doesn't have to figure into it. I can strive for something that I know may never happen. And I talk about things all the time. Time travel. and other worlds and things like that. Do I think they're possible? Who cares? Who cares if I think they're possible or not? That's not the point. Sometimes all that we can expect is a feeling. When I go and I see art at an art museum, a lot of people will look at a painting, and I heard this during an exhibit. I was looking, there was a whole room of Rothkos. Now, he wasn't the most specific painter. You couldn't go in there and say, gee, that's a house. That looks just like a house. You know, go in there and you go, okay, that's a big square of yellow and a big square of purple. Now, unless you're receptive to something that may be just emotion or feelings, unless you're able to sort of open yourself up and let a mystery wash over you, it can be very confounding. And there was a man in there that was loudly decrying what he was seeing. This, I know, is garbage. How could anybody think my kid could do this, which is a cliche, right? Sometimes it's true. Like Picasso's father used to say, my kid could do this. You're right. You're right, Mr. Picasso Sr. So every once in a while, it's true. But, if you're open to feeling certain things without worrying exactly where they came from, it can be a two-edged sword. Things can get in your head that have no basis in reality, like propaganda. But you can always also be propagandized for beauty and for compassion. So how do I know, Hardy? How do I know that these vague things that are washing over me, how do I know that if I open my heart and if I become open-minded, that I won't become so open-minded that I believe conspiracies, that I believe falsehoods? If I think that truth is relative, then what if I lose touch with truth and I start to believe all sorts of things? Well, I tell you what, there's a couple ways to keep tethered, I think, and that is to check your heart and see, is what I'm believing, is it keeping anybody in pain? Is what I'm believing, is it hurting anybody? Well, yeah, it could hurt in the long run. Yeah, that too, you know. Am I perpetuating something that could eventually damage a falsehood? You know, I have mixed feelings about this, and I'm never sure. I just try to always come back to some kind of basic feeling, you know? How do I want to be treated? I know it's so trite. People go, oh, golden rule, blah, 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 doing to others. Oh, it kills me. It kills me that something that may be the key to living in a good world is considered so trite that people just want to try anything but that. It's like if you were given the ultimate food and you go, oh, everybody has that. Sad sigh. Oh, my friends, I don't know. I don't have any answers. I just have feelings. That's all. And sometimes I have thoughts and ideas, and I don't know what they are. And sometimes I have dreams, and I don't know where they come from. I don't know my dreams.
Well, I did what you asked. I don't have him, but I gave him the ticket, so they don't have him either.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
So, now you uphold your end of the bargain.
And what end is that?
You said you'd allow me to return to my old body. I don't have to be the house anymore.
Oh, right. No, sorry, I lied.
But you promised.
And you sold out your friends and all of existence for your own gain.
It's no gain. I just wanted to be me again.
You never were not you. You merely were seeing a different aspect of you. Mine was broadened. But now you've imprisoned yourself. Bad luck, really.
This is unjust. This is unfair. I did what you asked.
Right. No one forced you to self-delude. Good job. You did that all by yourself. You're such a big boy now.
Who are you, even?
Ah, well, some things must remain a mystery.
Well, it's no mystery that you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in mysterious Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you again next week.